If council members could take their seats. If the clerk could call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Here.
Mr. Corley?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sanabi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Council comes to order at 7:26, if Councilman Lattiser could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could play. Very good. Thank you. If we could all have a seat. Also wanted to thank everybody watching at home, and then also for members of the staff and the public for indulging us. Hopefully this will be the last time to have our council meetings here, because we had a water leak and insurance proceeds are fixing the council chambers as we speak. And my understanding is if it's not complete, it should be complete shortly. So we're hoping to get in there within the next meeting or so. With that said, under executive communications, there are none. Under general communications, I know, Councilman Corley, that we received notice that you have the Gatsby Day parade coming up and some other events, and I know that we're supposed to RSVP, but if you wanted to fill us in on that.
The Gatsby Day Parade, I believe off the top of my head, is June 8th. And I know that they've been doing all of the planning that they do on a year-long basis, and that hopefully they will have, I'm hoping that they complete the work at the Salter Grove, where they're going to be putting in a playground and some other amenities. That's all I have to say about the Gatsby Day Parade, but I do have a couple of other things to bring up, and that is there was a very informative meeting at the Wyman Elementary School last week, which myself and Councilman Sanapi and Lattiser and Ricks attended. There were two members from the school committee, and the superintendent was there as well. And I believe that as a result of the information that was brought forth from the members of the PTA and the staff at the school, that they were able to have Chairwoman Backus had the school make sure that it was cleaned by Sunday. The meeting was about the problems and the health issues that were caused and may have been attributed to the lack of having night janitors for working on a part-time basis rather than full-time. The discussion about it was very well received, and there was everyone seemed to be working towards the same goal. And hopefully it worked out in a positive result today. I spoke with the PTA president, and she said that they were in there and they had done some cleaning, and hopefully it is enough to take them to the April vacation, when they can hopefully do a better cleaning, because the absentee rate, taken in conjunction with the number of kids that have gotten sent home from school, made me make the statement that I don't like to make, and that I hope that this is the sickest school in the city, because they are running anywhere between 40% to 50% higher in their missed school as a result of it. On another note, on a sad note, at the appropriate time, I would like the council to observe a moment of silence for at least former resident, Lou Ricciatelli, young man, died of a heart attack. And I know him because he grew up in the St. Kevin's Parish. And had no health issues, and it was quite sudden. And for the entire Ricciatelli family, it's been very difficult because he just lost his father, died a couple of weeks before for some other long-term illness. But it is sad to see someone struck down, you know, during the prime of their life. And it's sad to see anyone go at any time, but that is something that I would...
Well, why don't we do that now, Councilman? Why don't we observe... yes, Councilman.
I have also a moment of silence. So would you like to do them separately, or we can have one moment of silence?
We can do them together.
Okay. May I miss...
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to also just inform this body and and those attending and ask for a moment of silence for Caroline Wilkinson. She is was the mother of Command Sergeant Major Ken Wilkinson, retired United States Army, as well as a retired police officer in Newport. And, of course, the mother-in-law to many of your colleague, Representative Camille Vela Wilkinson. She passed away Saturday morning.
Thank you. Council will observe of a moment of silence. Thank you. Are there any other council members that have anything under general communications? Councilman Ricks.
I have not missed a Gatsby Days parade. It's wonderful. Long before the RSVPs ran out, and the happy couple had no knowledge of the exact date of the Gatsby Days parade at the time. I am going to be a groomsman. Oh.
Thank you. And there's more than just that event, obviously, at the Gatsby Day. There are a series of events that lead up to that, road races, fireworks, etc. So I would just encourage all our residents and people from outside the city to take a look at the website to find out the other activities that are going on. Is there anything else under general communications? If not, we'll go to quarterly reports. Dan O'Rourke, the Water Department. Okay. I know Mr. O'Rourke was here a few weeks ago because he wasn't able to give the quarterly report 3 months ago, I guess. So there any, and it doesn't look like there are many new additions, but is there anybody that has any questions on Mr. O'Rourke's quarterly report? Yes, Councilman.
Could I ask Mr. O'Rourke, what is the status of the water projects related to the Governor Francis sewer project?
We have some minor work to complete in the area, namely a few more hydrants that have to be installed, but for all intents and purposes, any of the improvements that we were going to make have been completed. In my understanding, and I know the people from the sewer authority here tonight, I believe it's next week they're going to be starting, if not even this week, to resume construction.
Is there any other questions for Mr. O'Rourke? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke. To Eric from engineering. Hi, Eric.
Pursuant to Resolution R-1624, the Engineering Division has prepared their quarterly report, so I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
And it looks like in your report you had talked about the library, and if you could just update, it looks like mapping is complete in all sections of the city. Some documentation associated with the map is available for public use at the Walk Public Library. So if you could give us an update on mapping, what you mean by that?
Actually, the mapping, I'm sorry, some of the mapping was done previously. I haven't, the latest update has not been sent over to the public library, but we did have some plans there that were actually Eric Earls, the former engineer, sent them over. We had just completed the remainder of the mapping this summer, so I'll have to compile the information and get that over to the library so that it can be available. But it actually, there is on the city's webpage, the GIS webpage, which is something I should have added, there is, if you go, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the information there. There's a section where you can click on, and we do have the stormwater. It's very schematic on there, and it's not necessarily complete, but that's what's been brought in through GIS into the city system. So that's also available as well. And that's probably something I should have put on this.
So the mapping isn't GIS. It was mapping of?
The stormwater system. Catch basins, drain manholes, pipes, outlets, those types of things.
And how long did that project take?
That project was 3 years.
And are there any results of the project other than to?
Well, it's helping us out with our stormwater, the outfalls, locating and testing the outfalls for any kind of flows that we might have. So we can start our progression to find illicit connections and whatnot.
Okay. So. I know several years back the council passed and the citizens voted for a $5 million bond referendum with regard to stormwater drainage. And we've all experienced with different flooding issues over the last so many years, floods within our neighborhood. Do you have a report on ways to, or are you going to be addressing ways to alleviate flooding or suggestions to alleviate flooding through stormwater improvements? And is that something that you'd work with Mr. O'Rourke on? The water
No, I don't think Dan would have anything to do with that.
Okay.
But as far as flooding's a tough situation because back in the old days, you had, you know, the process was to just get rid of the water and get it out as quickly as possible. Now, most things, they want you to retain the water on site so you can mimic the actual pre-existing conditions before it was developed. So, therefore, there's more of a push to try and keep water and you know, do it with retention ponds. They've gone back to infiltration systems are still good, swales, those types of things. Smaller areas going to, you know, kind of mimic what actually happens before development.
Obviously, the big issue in my ward and other wards, I know Councilman Howe's ward, is blockages in streams or downstreams.
Correct.
That cause problems. So at the appropriate point, if you could get back to us, if you have
sure.
suggestions about...
I can just add something there. I know back prior to us, pardon me for interrupting,
sure.
but prior to me being here, I know that the city used to have what was called the brook crews that would go out and clean the brooks. And apparently, from what I've been told, is that DEM has kind of put a kibosh on that, told us to stop... You know, stop doing that because the trees that fall are homes for the critters that live in the woods and whatnot, and so that's kind of somewhat what happens. You know, obviously when there's a blockage of stormwater, we want to try and get it moving, but we're limited somewhat as far as that goes. Like I said, we used to just basically go down and clear cut the brook so that it was in full operation.
I know in the past when Mr. Bacozzi was the DPW director, that there were circumstances where we put in applications to DEM for what they call maintenance dredging, etc. In particular, I had a few areas in the Potawatomi area mm-hmm. where the ponds over there would flood and they would allow an ongoing dredging program. Those are the type of solutions that I was looking at,
right.
or, you know, would welcome input on,
sure.
because maybe there's one application where we could include, for certain areas, maintenance, dredging, or removal
sure.
of
sure.
things.
Sure, actually, I've had a few of those through, you know, recently that we've done with CRMC, particularly most of them are coastal.
Right.
It's much easier to get a coastal permit than it is a ride down permit.
Okay. So, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other council members have questions of Eric? If not, we'll move on. And thank you for coming, Phil, from MIS.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. You've all been given the quarterly report. I just wanted to highlight most of our time this past quarter, for obvious reasons, has been spent doing year-end processing of W-2s, 1099s. I can say that we've successfully submitted them, and we're cleaning up some last-minute changes that are going to be going on. I also wanted to highlight that earlier this year we were awarded some money. This council approved money spent for Munis education. I want to let you know that we took on the first piece of that. We had a three-day session, and because of that, we'll be installing the Tyler content management system, one of the modules we already owned, just has never been installed. We'll be installing that later this week and starting to put that into practice. So slowly but surely, we're starting to get some of the benefits. We're going to be starting to reap some of the benefits we've invested in this software product. So other than that, I would be happy to entertain any questions that I can.
Looks like the Buttonwoods project is almost complete.
That took up a good piece of our time. We have all the networking for Buttonwoods done. It is wired in the ceiling. Once the final furniture and everything is put in, we'll terminate the ends for the network cables going to the desktops.
Okay. Are there any questions from council members? Yes, Councilman Lasser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Not so much questions. I just want to say, from my perspective, many of my colleagues here on the council have heard me not always be a big fan of this Munis report and this whole Munis software stuff. And it's encouraging to hear some of the things that you've been saying since Mayor Solomon hired you and put you into the position that you're in. And perhaps it's more about leadership in that particular department, bringing us into other areas of Munis that we may perhaps have been told can't do it, doesn't do it, won't do it. You seem to be more of an individual that says, let's make it work and let's find out why we're not doing it, because I think we can do it. And it's refreshing to hear that, and certainly I'm looking forward to you changing my opinion of Munis. Thank you.
I'll do my best.
Is there any other questions? Councilman Sinapi.
In the first page of report, you reference ability for WSA to accept online payments.
Yes.
You say the software provider only works with one credit card processing company. What's the software provider you're talking about?
It's Opal. Actually, the parent company, I think, is Vision. It's the Opal software product. We discussed it with them. One of the things we were trying to do, as we try to do with everything, is simplify. We wanted to have one credit card processing company to deal with. Munis has its list of approved vendors that they'll work with. We have other software companies that they come up and they say, we have this list, and we try to cross them so that we can find one common. Unfortunately, in this particular case, they only work with, I always get the name incorrect, I wrote it here, Click and Pay. I think the name of it is Click and Pay. It's the only one they work with. Munis does not work with that. So it's not a horrendous deal. It won't really cause that much complications to it, but it will be two vendors that we'll be dealing with.
Any other council members have questions? Okay, if not, we'll move on to
the
sewer. And Janine Burke.
Oh, not Janine tonight.
Yeah.
Good evening, Council President, Council members. Scott Goodenson, the Superintendent of the Warwick Sewer Authority. I believe the director did submit a report, and you should have it in front of you. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions, but before I begin, I just wanted to give you an update that's not in the report, if you don't mind, Council
Sure.
President. A couple of things. First of all, I just want to thank Councilman Sinapi for coming to the meetings on a regular basis. I appreciate that and the support you give. I'd also like to thank Councilman McAllister for his hard work that he's doing. I read in the Beacon what he's doing about the bringing attention to the infrastructure issues. So thank you, Councilman Sinapi. I also like to report that last Saturday we had our open house. We attached some open house flyers in the last billing cycle. And the last time we did this a couple of years back, we only had about 15, maybe 20 people show up. We were amazed at the turnout. I'm happy to report that we had over 120 people show up at the Warwick Sewer Authority last Saturday. The weather was on our side. Myself, the assistant superintendent, and even the prior superintendent gave tours. We gave tours 20, 30 at a time. The mayor showed up briefly to check out the event. We had a real good turnout, good questions and answers. We brought the attention, some of the challenges we face at the Sewer Authority, like grease and fats and flushable wipes. We brought that to your attention about the 300 miles of collection system and how they have to do their part, and we appreciate their help about flushing the grease fats, the flushable wipes, and even a prescription drug. So it was a great time. Kids showed up, and it was just really ecstatic about it, and we really had a good day. And with that, I'd try to answer any of your questions.
Thank you. My understanding was the mayor also showed up the day before.
Correct. He showed up on Thursday for a quick tour also.
Yes. So I guess the first thing on the report that jumps out is revenues and expenditures. Could you address that?
Specifically as far as...
Well, the revenues are about $12 million and the expenditures are almost $17 million.
Yes. To my understanding, they're always kind of, Council President, they're like getting the revenues in. People kind of wait until the last minute to pay their bills, and guilty as charged.
So are you anticipating a shortage this year?
I hope not, sir.
I was wondering what your anticipation is based on past trends.
I can defer to Lynn Owens, who's here with helping me out. So,
okay, is Lynn here?
How do we think we're anticipating a loss, a shortfall?
You have to come to the mic.
So, again, I've only been here for 6 years, so.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lynn Owens, administrative coordinator. And I would need to take a look at the budget, where we're at right now, what the anticipated revenues are coming in. Of course, we had some unexpected expenses with our sewer line break and our CIPP work that's ongoing now. But certainly we'll take a look at the final numbers, and we can report back to you.
And what was the estimate? What was the estimated cost for the sewer line breakage?
The estimated cost for the sewer line break for the Ambrose repair on contract DD, that came to a total of $580,000, and an additional $130,000 for the details, and that they bill is on a quarterly basis, so that's billed up to December 31st. So 580 plus 130 for that original break where that line was removed. I think that the Beacon had reported 7 something on that. Yeah, so it was a little bit less, which was good. And again, we'll. That was the billing for the detailed was until December 31st, and I think the repairs were completed around the end of the first week of January. So we'll see a little bit more on the detail.
I was just trying to. I know that you had said that you had the sewer line breakage, so you that was some costs associated with that, but that still puts us what is that 12 and. About $4 million behind as far as the expenses go, and that's always been a concern for us, because when we're not estimating costs and income appropriately. We've had situations where the assessments go up dramatically because we it hasn't been assessed. I know it was before you were there, so.
But I've been living in the city for a long, long time, so I'm concerned also, sir.
Yeah. And what about assessing what's happening with the infrastructure? And can you give us an update on that?
Yes, sir. So
I know you're cleaning pipes, etc.
Yes, sir. So what we've been doing is our Vactor truck. A line broke on the Vactor truck. We put the Vactor truck through quite a bit of work. This is our high-pressure vacuuming hose that we go and we jet the lines out. We used it a lot during the initial break at Cedar Swamp on Sandy Lane and in Armory. And then we ended up damaging one of the high-pressure hoses, so we had to replace that hose. After we replaced that hose, and then we also did use some contractors to help clean that line, to get that line prepared to be lined. That was the other part of that construction cost. Was we did spend another $107,000 on the Sandy Lane liner. That's that Green Mountain liner that was approved, along with another small repair with that. And then the camera truck had just been replaced, the rear end. So it was kind of like Murphy's Law. We had a couple of equipment failures, which slowed down the process. But now that everything's up and running, our collection system team is coming up with a plan. When we've also got our asset manager, who's actually looking at collecting quotes and estimates for the remainder of cammering and cleaning the rest of the lines.
And how long do you anticipate that will take?
The due date is about 2 weeks to the council.
And how long will it take to assess all the pipes?
And then we'll have to send out bid specs and scope of work. But we're under the gun, and it is critical, and we're moving as fast as we can, sir.
I was just asking how long, once you get a yes, how long do you think it will take before you will have that assessment fully completed?
Oh, the assessment, we're looking to have that assessment done within a month. But
that's for all the pipes in the city?
That's the assessment as far as no, because they're going to take time to actually do the camera.
Yeah, that's how long does that take?
It's going to depend on the company that comes in and bids on the job. So because it's got to go out for bid specs, and we'll have to take proposals. So you'll be seeing that very shortly.
And what's the current status of the Bayside project?
To my understanding, the Bayside project, CMC was just approved. The CRMC was just approved at the last board meeting, and we are waiting for the ground to break, the weather to break.
And what are we looking at for a completion date for that project? Because we've gotten them in the past,
right,
obviously.
Right.
So
let me see if she wrote in there. I don't know if it's in the report.
The report says still planning for 2019, it looks like.
Yeah, she attached a table in the report.
Mr. President.
Yes.
If I could help out.
Sure.
So we have an agreement with DEM that Bayside 1, 2, and 3 is going to be completed by 2020. And that agreement was predicated upon a deferment to those folks that are on cesspools and dysfunctioning septic systems to be able to have a sewer system to tie into. Because, if, as you recall, the deferment expired in December 31st of 2013. And those folks, particularly in the Bayside 1, 2, and 3 area that I'm familiar with, obviously, it's where I represent, those folks were facing upwards of $900 a day in fines for not getting off cesspools. And DEM was, I'll word it, kind enough to work with us and again extend a deferment to the city and to those people, because this council passed the enabling legislation, also passed the bond resolution to get it completed. So this councilman is looking for those sewers to be completed by the end of 2020, as we committed to. And that certainly is what DEM is looking for.
So what are you anticipating for a completion date? I don't see it in here.
Yeah, neither do I. I can get back to you with that.
Sorry. Okay. It's just every time that we ask, there's a moving target here, and I absolutely agree with Councilman Lattiso. We put the time and effort in. I know he did to get this done for his residents, and seems like there's always something that delays it. And how do you plan on paying for the pumps for the Bayside? How are you funding that? Are you, the pumps for Bayside?
To my understanding, it's all through the loan.
So that's budgeted in?
Sir.
Okay. And what's left in the renewable replacement funds? How much money is left in that account?
I've been asking that question myself. We're still working with the city finance department to get that exact number, sir.
And can you tell me about the assessments for O'Donnell Hill, what they're at right now? Like, how much a resident's going to be paying for assessments?
I don't have that exact number.
If I may,
yes.
At the last meeting, I think it was Thursday, not mistaken, it was originally projected to be around $17,000, but now they're going to be going up to estimated about $20,000.
My understanding is $23,000, Councilman.
You may, in fact, be right. They're supposed to be documentation on it soon.
Your residents need to know that, and need to know why we're not sticking to the estimates when they're given to people.
Yeah, from what I understand, it had to do with ledge and some unexpected costs. But again, they're supposed to be getting me the documentation imminently.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Goodenson. I know it's not easy standing there answering questions that have been a culmination of years in the making. So, yes, Councilman Lattiso, and we'll go. I know there's four other council members that have questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, to go to the item that the council president was referring to, revenues versus expenses, it says, according to the Vision Opal software report, as of this date, just over $2.7 million has been collected on sewer assessment bills. Do you know what the number is for past due bills on assessments that have not been collected?
I do not, sir.
Would Lynn have the answer to that?
I do not have the answer to that, sir, but I know that those that are delinquent have entered into the tax sale process, and the tax collector is working closely with those folks to set up payment plans and bring them whole. But I can certainly get that information for you.
Also, when you're gathering that information in the total of the past due, not just that's up for tax sale, the total past due, and aging of the accounts as well. I know I found it very interesting many years ago when we had to form the Warwick City Council tax sale committee because of millions and millions of dollars of revenue or monies that was not collected. So I'd like to see where that number is. Also, on page 2 of the report, it says, finally, in February, the board approved the new sewer access charge in lieu of an assessment on parcels that are sewered using private funds. What does that mean, using private funds? What are the private funds?
I'm not sure, sir. can get that back to you also.
That's okay. I appreciate, you know, the honest answer. Lynn, do you have any idea what private funds are?
Typically, it's a contractor or a private developer, a homeowner, that would like sewer service to their home, to their development. The sewer line is down the street, but it's not in front of their property. So they will pay the sewer authority a sewer access fee. They will also pay to extend the sewer line privately.
Okay, sure, I understand that. With the sewer extension planning and construction included in a $33 million bond authorization, back in 2013, the bond I was alluding to earlier for the members on the council who were not here then, we approved a $56 million bond. $33 million was for the infrastructure development or extensions of the sewers, and $23 million was for infrastructure-related repairs. Of the $33 million that was designated for, I believe it was for six different areas, and if I remember correctly, Bayside 1, 2, and 3 was $17 million, was earmarked for the sewers in that area. Do you have available now a complete breakdown of the monies that were expended from each of those six different areas that were included in the bond and the respective amounts of monies that were designated specifically for those areas?
I do not have that, sir, but if that's available, I definitely can get that for you.
Lynn, can you speak to that?
I don't have a document in front of me, but online there is a listing of sewer construction projects. There are estimated costs associated with each project, and that document is updated regularly. The contracts that are underway, certainly those budgets are estimated regularly as the contractor is doing his work and uncovering savings or any additional work that might be found.
Okay, what I would like to receive is a complete financial breakdown of the six different areas that were designated in that bond that we passed, and a spreadsheet of the disbursements and the expenses incurred in each of those areas by location. And as an example, in Bayside 1, 2, and 3, there was $17 million approximately earmarked for Bayside 1, 2, and 3. So what I'm looking for is from the time we passed that revenue bond to current day, a complete itemized list of expenditures that were made, what they were, and the remaining balance in that particular area as it pertains to the other areas. Thank you on that one. In the budget report, in the overtime line, you've expended almost 160% of the budget in overtime. The budget was $80,000 as of February 28th, which is about 8 months, I think, into the fiscal year. You've expended almost $128,000. Why is the overtime?
That I can answer to, sir.
Okay.
We performed our own bypass with the Sandy Lane line collapsed. WSA staff, in-house staff, manned those pumps 24/7, and we needed two guys on each pumps every day. So that cost a lot of money, sir.
So for that entire duration, you had to have two people there listening or watching a pump?
Several pumps.
Several pumps.
Mm-hmm.
They were all in the same location?
It's Samosa in same location, and some in different locations at the second bypass that we took base.
And is that overtime cost? Is that part of the numbers that you spoke to earlier with respect to those?
That
costs?
Increase in overtime included those. You said that it ended February.
As of February 28th.
Yes, that would include that overtime.
So those numbers that you spoke to the council president earlier, that includes that overtime.
No, it does not. That was just the project that the one I talked to the council president about was for D'Ambra, for Green Mountain, and for details.
Okay. And in your budget, you have tax sale and insurance. Tax sale, an expected or revised budget of 125, and insurance of 237. And as of February 28th, there was no expenditures at all. Why is that?
Can you repeat that question, sir?
In your budget, you have line items that speak to tax sale.
Okay.
And you have a line item that speaks to insurance. And there is nothing expensed or received as of February 28th. I didn't know why that was.
Yeah, I believe it comes at the end of the billing cycle, but I'll let you know for sure. I can get back to you on that
one. And the billing cycle is what, once a year?
At the end of the year.
Once a year, okay. So that number wouldn't be plugged in now. It wouldn't be plugged in until year end. Okay.
Correct.
On debt service, it says paying agent fees. What is agent fees for debt service? That's on the last page of your budget.
I can get back to you on that.
Lynn, do you have any idea what that is? Because it's a number that has a mm-hmm. budget for $14,150. And as of February 28th, you've expensed $9,750. Mm-hmm. I have no clue what paying agent fees are. And apparently you guys don't either. Okay, so I would look forward to hearing what that is. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman McAllister. I know you if folks.
Thank you. I just
questions.
Wanted to make a quick comment that I took a tour. Scott gave me a tour of the facility about a year ago, and I would definitely recommend it to my fellow council members and to the public that it is quite the operation. I mean, you see the budget and all the things that goes into it that. I think it's something I would definitely recommend, and thank you. You gave me the tour on your own. I kind of did a pop in myself and got the full tour. So I would recommend that. I had some questions on the private money and stuff, but Councilman Lattiser got the answers I was looking for. So thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I'd also share in Councilman McAllister's comments on how great that tour was. Thank you also for assisting with the tour. I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago. I think Councilman McAllister touched on most of the points that I was going to bring up. I may have missed it, but I'm not sure.
Yes, I believe so, Jeremy. Councilman.
And I would also observe that looking at the combination of sick time and other leave of approximately 40,000, salaries of 1.15 million, and overtime of 127,000, those are the extended numbers. If one were to combine those and compare it to the budget, for those three line items, as of the date of the February 28th report, two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year, it appears that the total expended during this period is less than two-thirds. So it seems that the expenditures and salaries are under, not over, at this point in time.
Yeah, we went a large portion of this year with positions not filled. So that reflects that number.
Thank you.
Councilman Qualley.
Concerning the Governor Francis project, what is the date that they're going to start work?
Yes, Councilman. I was out there at the project today with the consultant, Charlie Lombardi, and we did meet up with Ed from Brito. They were answering some constituent concerns about the asphalt up on the sidewalks and stuff, and he was addressing that. And I did ask him to get a chance to talk to the contractor. I believe he said about 2 weeks he's going to restart. Again, they were waiting for the weather to break.
Okay. And I see it says in the chart that the construction is 60% complete for the project. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. I do not, but from what he told me, he said it was pretty much on schedule, what the contractor said.
Okay. Well, I just don't know if it's going to go over in 2020. That's my question.
To my knowledge, no. That ledge, from what I understand, on Squantum slowed them right down when they hit ledge. They spent a couple of weeks on ledge.
Don't they do any sort of survey when they are bidding the project to determine the likelihood of ledge being in an area?
To my understanding, they did the borings the way they were supposed to, and it just so happened that in between those two spots there was ledge that they did not expect to see.
And when you said they did the boring, who's the people who...
The engineering company.
Garfalo is the engineer for the project.
Yes, sir. So do I, sir.
Councilman Pallada, so good.
Thank you, Mr. President. Through the chair to Councilman Qualley. So a couple of meetings ago, we spoke about this ledge issue. And the testimony was that test borings are done about every 100 feet or so, which is what got us in trouble at the levee. Obviously got us in trouble over in your ward, and we had the conversation about Bayside 1, 2, and 3. Now, you don't need to be an engineer, you don't need to be a genius to know that we have significant amounts of ledge in Bayside 1, 2, and 3. And that's why we're expecting the sewer authority to take command of the project and require more test borings, because if you go from 0 to 100 feet away and you don't find any ledge, and then in between somewheres thereabouts, you got 100 feet that was never tested, and you find ledge, yeah, you betcha, to remove that ledge, you're talking thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And by the way, most of these sewer lines are not being dropped down 100 feet. They're dropped down 10, 15 feet. So you're not digging real deep to find out if you got ledge. So that's one of those items in the bids that have really, really been a thorn in my side, is playing the games, the financial games with ledge. Just so you know. Thank you.
Thank you. And my understanding is it's not every 100 feet, it's every 350 feet. At least that's what the testimony was in the past, okay, which has led to issues and problems. And Scott, I apologize that you're the one that has to be standing here, but I do appreciate that both of you came tonight to answer questions. And you can see, if nothing else, that you're the most popular group out of the quarterly reports.
Baptism by fire, I guess, right?
Thank you. Are there any other questions from Councilman Sinapi?
So I confirmed while we were here that for O'Donnell Hill, it went up from about 17.5 to roughly 20,000 with Mr. Lombardi. Although, again, I'll be curious to see what the hard numbers are.
Any increase is welcomed? Is that the message?
The lower the increase, the better, though.
Yes, yes. We'd like to see seven when it's quoted at 17 to stay at 17.
Absolutely.
Okay. So are there any other questions? Okay. Thanks for coming, Scott. We really appreciate it. Okay. We'll move on to acceptance of the minutes of the council meeting held on February 27th, 2019. Somebody could move favorable action.
Favorable action.
Councilman Howell moves favorable action, and seconded by Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on the minutes from February 27th? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes for February 27th stand passed. Next item on the agenda are the minutes from March 18th, 2019. Can I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Seconded by Councilman McAllister. Any discussion on the minutes for March 18th? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? And the minutes for March 18th stand passed. Next item on the agenda is announcement of appointments. There are none. Next item is appointments requiring confirmation. Land Trust Commission Committee Report. Land Trust? Appointments, I'm sorry. Held till June 17th. The consent calendar. First item on the agenda is PCR 4719, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 47-19.
Seconded by Councilman Howe and Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
First item, 2019-136, recruit psychological evaluations, favorable action. 2019-234, rescue support software, favorable action. 2019-258, access and site improvements to Green Cemetery, favorable action. 2019-284, command leadership training, favorable action. 2020-011, municipal recycling facility, favorable action. Completes the consent calendar.
Thank you. I know we spent quite amount of time in subcommittee going over, in the finance committee going over these bid items. Are there any further questions from council members on the finance bid items that were not asked in committee? And also on the consent calendar, I believe we have a resolution relative to abatements, committee report, finance.
Favorable action. Move
favorable action
on PCR 48-19.
Seconded by Councilman Howe, Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman.
Committee recommends favorable action on PCR 48-19.
Is there any questions on the resolution relative to abatements? I know that was discussed in committee also. If not, last item relative to the consent calendar is resolution relative to claims. Committee report, public safety.
We have a few here. First, we have the claim from Joanne Quinlan.
If you could just move it. The recommendation is for favorable action.
Recommendations for favorable action, although some have been removed.
Okay. For action, Councilman Sinap, you're going to move for favorable action. We'll get a second.
Recommendations for favorable action.
So Councilman Sinapi moves for favorable action, seconded by Councilman McAllister. Councilman Howe, go ahead, Councilman Sinapi.
You want me to go one by one and then point yes. out and separate it?
Yes.
All right. The recommendation for Joanne Quinlan was for approval of $300. We had the next one from Melanie Shackelford was recommended to be held. And that one got separated out as PCR 50-19. We had a claim for Marie Scalguero. It was recommended for approval for $300. However, it was separated out as PCR-51-19. Claim for David Rothermel held and separated out as PCR-52-19. Claim for Francis McGuire, favorable action for $200.03. Claim for Robert Lefebvre, favorable action for $247.21. Claim for Paul Buckley, held and separated out as PCR-53-19. And claim for Francis Delbonis, held and separated out as PCR-54-19.
Thank you. So the claims have been moved and seconded. Are there any questions on the claims? I know we also spent an extensive amount of time on claims in the Public Safety Committee. Any questions on claims? So the consent calendar has been moved and seconded. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattison?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Consent calendar stands passed. We had a number of items removed. Five items removed. Okay. So the first one is claim PCR 5019. Do we have a recommendation from public safety on that?
Hold till the next meeting.
That's held till April 22nd. Next item is PCR 5119. Do we have a recommendation from public safety?
Recommendation was for favorable action in the amount of $300.
Seconded by Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman. Is there any discussion?
I believe Councilman Lattiser may have something to
sure.
say.
Sure. Go ahead, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. So there's several issues with this particular claim that troubled me, and I kind of lean towards my common sense on this. So we have a claim here that's for anywhere between $1,000 and $1,600 for hitting a pothole. That vehicle was in forward motion, obviously, when it hit the pothole. Whether it be 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, whatever, it was in forward motion. It hit a pothole and literally bottomed out. Bottomed out to the degree that there was somewhere between $1,000 and $1,600 worth of damage to the passenger side front fender. Nowhere in any of the reports does it speak to any damaged tire, any damage to a tire, any damaged rim. It doesn't speak to any undercarriage damage. And once again, to have this type of damage to a fender, that vehicle had to bottom out on the road. But no undercarriage damage. No damage to the front end and ball joints or anything. The vehicle was not towed. So with this impact hitting this pothole, bottoming out and pushing the fender upwards into the vehicle for $1,600 worth of damage, to me, you would think that fender was pushed up against the tire for that type of damage. The issue here for me is whether or not I want to just arbitrarily approve something because it was presented to us as damage resulting from a pothole when the evidence doesn't make sense to me. This isn't just bring a claim before this honorable body and say, hey, listen, I've got this damage here. I believe these are just like any other claims. The burden of proof is on the claimant to, in fact, prove that this damage occurred by this pothole. I don't see it. Vehicle wasn't towed. No damage to a tire. No damage to a rim. Well, by the way, no bodily damage at all was claimed. And when you're hitting a pothole this deep for the car to bottom out and do damage to a fender, first time I've ever heard that in my whole life. No damage to the undercarriage. No damage to any of the other items on the front end. This is not something that I'm going to be voting for. I certainly cannot approve something that doesn't bear the proof of burden, or the burden of proof, I should say, because of all the other issues that one would expect to see when you bottom out a car and cause $1,600 worth of damage to a fender. So I will not be able to support this.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion on this? Councilman Sinapi.
So just want to point out a few things. DPW obviously recommended approval. The claimant herself represented the car, now kind of tilts to one side when the wheel goes back, tries to reset. Instead, it kind of goes off to one end, similar to what happens when you sustain damage to either your tires, your alignment, your balance, whatever it is. I'm not a car guy. I don't pretend to be, but I know that kind of damage can cause that kind of result because it's done to my vehicles. I don't necessarily disagree with anything Councilman Lattiser says, because he may very well be right. But I defer to what Councilman Rick said during committee as far as, you know, he thinks it is possible that with this specific kind of car, especially because it happens to be low to the ground, that this kind of damage is not only possible but probable, and that we might, in fact, act. Well, I should say the claimant is the lucky one here that her vehicle didn't sustain even more damage, such as to the tires, than what was sustained.
Thank you. Is there any other comments? So we did spend a lot of time on this claim. I know, as Councilman Lattiso pointed out, I also had some concerns about the mechanics of how this occurred. We do rely on DPW to some extent to verify these claims. I was a little bit concerned about the fact that there was not damage to the tire. And there was some evidence, I think Councilman Ricks pointed out, that the front end might possibly been aligned. I would assume, depending on how hard you hit the pothole, you can have varying degrees of damage if you roll into it very slow compared to if you roll into it fast. I know that one of the estimates was for $1,900 worth of damage. One thing that is weighing on my decision is this was the third claim tonight for the same pothole. So that bothers me too. It bothers me that we're in this situation. We should be filling the potholes. We should be repaving the roads, which is a discussion we'll have in 2 months about how much money we can afford to put in the budget to repave roads and infrastructure, which to me are the most significant issues. For those reasons, I'll be going along with the committee's recommendation for 300, but not without some concern as to what Councilman Lattiso talked about with regard to the mechanics. So if that is all the comments we have, because we've exhausted a lot of time on this one issue, the clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Corley?
No.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiso?
No.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
6 yes.
That item passes. That resolution passes. Next one, I think, is PCR 5219. Is that right, attorney?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the recommendation on that?
To hold till April 22nd.
So that's held till April 22nd. Next is PCR 5319. Do we have a recommendation for public safety?
Hold till April 22nd.
Held till April 22nd. Last item is PCR 5419. If we could have a recommendation from public safety.
Hold till April 22nd.
Held till April 22nd. April 22nd. Next item on the agenda under unfinished business is PCO 318 Rocky Point Ordinance to Protect the Rights of Private Property Owners. First passage that's not drafted, a committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold till May 20th.
Held till May 20th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 6918, a resolution to establish a Bucky Brook Advisory Committee that's not drafted. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold till July 15th.
Held till July 15th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 13418, a resolution to create a Charter Review Commission that's not drafted. Committee report, Intergovernmental.
Hold till July 15th.
Held till July 15th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 15218, a resolution relative to abatements. Committee report, finance.
Hold but I May 6th.
Held till May 6th. Next item on the agenda is PCR 2119, a resolution relative to Education Outreach Committee that's not drafted. Committee report, Health, Education, and Welfare.
Hold April 22nd.
Held April 22nd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 4219, a resolution to the General Assembly in support of amendments to the Sewer Authority Enabling Act. Committee report, Intergovernmental. That's hold?
Hold to 4, April 22nd.
Held till April 22nd. Next item on the agenda is PCR 4319, formerly 2019-246, Fire Apparatus Annual Pump Testing and Service. Committee report, Finance.
Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattisaw.
Favorable action on PCR 4319.
Seconded by Councilman Howe and Councilman McAllister. Go ahead, Councilman Lattisaw.
Committee moves favorable action on PCR 43-19.
Okay. Is there no discussion? Any discussion?
No discussion.
All right. If not, a yes is to approve. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr.
Marola? Yes.
Mr. Corley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
That stands passed. Under new business, PCO 719, Pension Board first draft, first passage, it's not drafted. Committee report. Finance.
Hold April 22nd.
Held till April 22nd. PCR 4619, Economic Development, not drafted. Committee report, Economic Development.
Being held till May 6th.
Held till May 6th. We'll go to unanimous consent. Ward 1, anything for unanimous consent?
No.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
You got 1.
I was told I wait on this one.
Yeah, but we're going to dock it on the unanimous consent. So, you're going to dock it if. All right, so you're going to dock it for unanimous consent for the next meeting.
Yes.
All right, so we'll dock it on the docket session then.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
go ahead. Ward 4.
What's
that?
No. Pass.
So you're gonna. So is there any objection to Councilman Howe docketing an item regarding the land trust? We all heard the discussion for the next meeting, which is April 22nd.
No objection.
There's no objection, so that will be put on the docket on unanimous consent for the April 22nd meeting. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President.
All right. Anything unanimous consent? Ward 4. Ward 5.
Yes, I have one docketing memo. It's going to be sponsored by myself.
Oh, unanimous
no,
consent.
I'm sorry.
Right?
No.
Okay.
Unanimous consent.
Okay. Ward 7. Ward 6. Ward 7. Ward 8.
Pass.
Ward 9 passes. We'll move to the docket session. Councilwoman Travis.
There be no further business in this honorable body. I move to a docket session.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Council stands in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Okay. Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Yes, I have one. It's going to be sponsored by myself, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman McElroy, McAllister, Sinappi, and anyone else that would like to sign on. It's going to be an ordinance, and the tentative title is an ordinance in regards to water discharge.
Okay. So is that a financial concern in that ordinance also, or?
No.
No. All right. We'll put it in ordinance. 6. Ward 6. Ward 7.
Pass.
Ward 8.
Pass.
Ward 9 passes, and have a good night. Council stands adjourned.